BBC World Service. Now, BBC Learning English.
Hello and welcome to Talk About English. I'm Callum Robertson. In today's programme, we're going to be looking at the topic of pronunciation. What makes good pronunciation? And what is it that native speakers do when they're talking that you can do to make your spoken English more fluent and natural? To discuss these topics, I've been joined today by teacher, teacher trainer and materials writer, Alan Stanton. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
When learning a language, there are many things to study and practice, such as vocabulary and grammar, skills like reading, writing and speaking. A key to good speaking is good pronunciation. Alan, first, how important do you think pronunciation is as a language skill, and what do we mean by good pronunciation?
Well, people want to be understood when they speak to others. They don't want their words to be mistaken for other words because they haven't pronounced them very well. I remember here a story, and this is an absolutely true story, about a lady who was visiting London, and she wanted to buy a train ticket to Istanbul in Turkey. So she went to Victoria Station to inquire about trains to Turkey, and unfortunately, she was sold a ticket to Torquay, which is a town in the southwest of England, in completely the opposite direction. Now, there is a difference between Turkey and Torquay.
So good pronunciation is important because you could easily be misunderstood.
Yes, I think good pronunciation has to be clear and comprehensible, not placing a strain on the listener and making your meaning absolutely clear so that you are not misunderstood. But of course, it doesn't have to be a perfect imitation of any particular native speaker accent.
Right, so where should learners start with pronunciation? Because something students often say is the spelling of English is very different from the pronunciation.
We have 26 letters in the alphabet that we use in English, but we have 44 sounds. So the spelling is not always a good guide to the pronunciation. But we can use phonemic symbols, and there are 44 phonemic symbols, one for each sound, and these symbols represent the sounds of words accurately. And it's possible to find out the correct pronunciation of a word by using a dictionary, because after the spelling of the word, the next thing is that word in phonemic symbols. And if you know these symbols, and they're not really difficult to learn, you can find out the pronunciation just by looking in the dictionary. You don't have to ask your teacher.
Now, you mentioned before that students don't need to have a native speaker accent. Is that right?
I think that's right. I mean, there are many, many acceptable native speaker accents. There's not simply one native speaker accent in English. And there's providing people's pronunciation is clear and comprehensible, it doesn't matter if they have an accent from their first language. I don't think that's a problem at all. However, I think it's important to understand native speakers whose speech inevitably will be fast and fluent. And this may cause difficulties for learners. And I think it's important to know what native speakers do when they speak, because it helps in comprehension. And it's useful for listening to the radio, for television, for films. Even if you don't actually meet many native speakers face to face, you may well be exposed to lots of native speaker English through electronic media.
So let's have a look now at some of these things that native speakers do when we're speaking. So what's the first one that comes to mind?
One important feature is the weak pronunciation of vowel sounds. For example, the word and is often pronounced un in phrases like fish and chips, and the preposition to is often pronounced as to. If you say let's go to Cambridge, for example, it just sounds like to.
You almost don't hear it at all. It's so short, and that's, I presume, why they call it weak.
Yes, in fact, there's a name for this weak form. It's called schwa, and the phonemic symbol looks like an upside down E, and it's very, very common.
So that's schwa, the weak form, and we'll be hearing some examples of that later on in the program. But there's another interesting thing about spelling and pronunciation, is that the number of letters in a word is not the same as the number of sounds in a word.
That's right. There are some words, like the word cat, C-A-T, where we can hear every sound that appears in the spelling, three letters and three sounds. But in contrast, if we take a word such as catch, there are five letters, C-A-T-C-H, but there are only three sounds, k, a, ch. So therefore, three phonemic symbols will appear in the dictionary. If we take the past tense of that word, caught, C-A-U-G-H-T, six letters, but only three sounds, k, or, t.
So it is important for students to not get too hung up on spelling and be aware that pronunciation and spelling have slightly different rules.
That's absolutely true.
You're listening to Talk About English from the BBC World Service.
Today we're talking about pronunciation with Alan Stanton. We're going to look now at something that's very common in the way that people speak naturally. And we've looked at individual words, but we don't usually speak in individual words, do we, Alan?
No, in writing you can see the gaps between words, but when people are speaking, you can't hear gaps between words. The words are often joined together, so two or three words may sound like one word. If we take the phrase, I'll say this very slowly to start with, a cup of tea. We have four words there, but the normal way to say that is a cup of tea, a cup of tea. And in particular, what is happening there is that cup is joining with the next word, of, or of, because it's the weak form here, to produce cup of. So cup of tea may sound just as if it is one word and not four words.
So this is what we call linking.
Here. It's called linking. And the particular example we've looked at in that phrase, a cup of tea, is a word which ends with a consonant sound joining to a word which begins with a vowel sound. So cup of becomes cup of tea.
Cup of tea. Now, this is very, very common, this feature, isn't it, Alan? And you can find it in just about any example of native speech. Now, we've got a short section here from a BBC news report which has a number of these linking features in it. We'll look in detail at what these features are shortly, but as you listen to this piece from a news story about traffic problems in a small Russian town, see if you can pick out any of these linkings that are going on. Here's the news report.
By Russian standards, Tashtagol is a tiny little town, just 20,000 people, a few streets and a handful of roads. So you may be surprised to learn that traffic problems here have been causing chaos, not because of cars, but because of cows.
So, Alan, what were some of the linking features that we heard there? Anything you would like to highlight?
Well, I think we can hear the two words is pronounced as is-a.
OK, shall we just have a listen to that?
Tashtagol is a tiny little town.
So Tashtagol is a tiny little town, is-a, yes. Any others?
Well, I think we can hear a few streets and a handful of roads. We have some linking there.
OK, let's just have a listen to that little bit.
A few streets and a handful of roads.
So, yes, so we had and a handful of roads becomes and a handful of, and a handful of.
That's right.
And one more in there.
Yes, well, twice we heard because of. The weak form of and the sound at the end of because linking to the word of in its weak form. So we heard because of cars and because of cows.
OK, let's listen to that.
Not because of cars, but because of cows.
So those examples show mainly linking from a consonant to a weak vowel, but it's not just weak vowels that this linking happens to. It can also happen with strong vowels as well. And we have an example of that here. I wonder if you can pick it up when you listen to it.
Don't forget to switch off the light before you go out.
And let's listen to that one more time.
Don't forget to switch off the light before you go out.
OK, so what's the linking there, Alan?
When you listen to that, it may sound as if you're hearing a word chof. Mm-hmm. But, of course, there's no such word as chof. It's switch off linked together, so switch off the lights.
OK, so that's a strong form there.
Yeah. And that reminds me of another absolutely true story about one of my students who said to me one day, Alan, what is a deg? And I said, well, I don't think deg is an English word at all. I've never heard that word. And he said, yes, it's an English word, because every morning in the hotel where I'm staying, the waitress says to me, would you like a fried egg?
A fried egg.
Yeah, so it's...
What should that be for those who might not be with us on that?
Well, it's fried, mm-hmm. and then egg.
Right, so we've linked the...
They link together, so it's fried egg.
Right, OK. Yes, I've never had a deg myself, but I do like a fried egg.
Better scrambled.
A scrambled egg.
A scrambled egg.
A scrambled egg. So that's consonant to vowel linking, but it's not the only kind of linking there is. There's another example in that sentence that we were listening to about switch off. If you listen to the end, the last two words, there's another kind of linking. Let's listen to that once more.
Don't forget to switch off the light before you go out.
Before you go out. What's happening there, Alan?
Well, we have two words there. We have go and we have out. Now, go ends with a vowel sound, and out begins with a vowel sound. Now, to make a smooth transition between the two sounds, there is a linking w sound. So it's not go out. There's no linking there. It's go out, go out. This is called a linking w. There is also another linking sound, which is a linking y sound. If we say see it, there's a linking y. So there are two sounds, linking w and linking y, which make a connection between two vowel sounds, the last vowel sound of one word and the first vowel sound of the next word.
Is that something that students can learn to do?
Well, in a way, students don't really need to learn it in a very conscious way, because as you begin to speak more fluently, it happens automatically by itself. So, in fact, you shouldn't really try hard to do it, because it's supposed to be easy and effortless and natural. It's not emphatic. And if you try and do it deliberately, you will emphasize it, and that's completely the wrong idea.
Right. I wonder if you could just give us a few more examples of where this happens.
Yes, I think a good way to remember this is to remember the phrase three eggs, where you have a linking y sound, and two eggs, where you have a linking w sound, because you get the linking y sound with words ending with sounds such as e or I or I, and you get the linking w sound when the first word ends in o or u or oo or a sound like that.
I'm afraid that's all the time we have today in Talk About English. Alan, before we go, I wonder if you can quickly recap what are the points we've looked at today.
Well, today we looked at weak forms. We looked at the number of letters in a word not being the same as the number of sounds. We looked at the final consonant sound in a word linking to the vowel sound of the next word. And we looked at the final vowel linking to the vowel beginning the next word, as in two eggs and three eggs.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Thank you.
Well, remember, you can listen to our programmes online and do a range of pronunciation exercises and practice on our website. That's at bbclearningenglish.com. Hope you can join us next time for more Talk About English. Goodbye.